I just turned it on.
We're recording now.
Okay.
So we call the meeting to order at 6 and set the Pledge of Allegiance. Approval of the previous minutes meetings. Why don't we just go through that again? Do we have a motion to approve the minutes from the last meeting?
I move we approve the minutes as presented.
Do we have a second?
I second. It's Anna Maria.
Do we have any discussions on the minutes? Good. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So the minutes are approved as is. If anybody, just a quick question, there was a little bit of background noise, so if you can mute your mic if you're not talking, that would be great. Appreciate it. Next up is public comments. I know Val typically accepts those. Did anybody sign up for public comments, either through the chat or via email? Is anybody interested in providing public comments? Okay, I guess we can move on. Next up is a monthly financial review. Is that, are you going to do that this month, Jeff?
Yeah, I can go through the month of August, the actuals, and then we'll have you guys approve the web report, and then I can get into a little bit of where we stand today. So good evening, Elias, and other members of the board. Nice to see everyone. I'm going to see if I can share screen. I'll go through that quick PowerPoint that breaks down the actuals. All right, looks like I can. We had a nice meeting with the CBOC leading up to this, so we've got that back running. Quickly, as an update to where we stand, I know I shot an email out to the board, but to just inform the public, the local funding amounts for the charters were sent out last Friday. And overall, it was good news for us. Kind of the worst case scenario for the charters were that the expenditure levels of the districts took a dive with the shutdown. But it looks like on our end, 3 out of the 4 major districts that we pull from actually saw an increase in their expenditures, moderate increase, with the one that decreased pretty minimal to pretty close to flat. So that's pretty good news. All things considered, where the worst case scenario could have been. The offset to that right now, where we had the preliminary budget based, is that the 1,950 students that we initially based the budget on is probably coming in under that. So the increases that we saw on the expenditure side from the districts, offset by the decrease in the student count, we're likely looking at about where we actually budgeted at a flat local revenue. So we're now working through the programming that we're associating with the virtual open, because the initial budget was based on the full reopening. And we're gonna put that together and add the projections back to the monthly report, because that's based off of the budget, and be able to present that when we have the board meeting to review and approve the school's audited financial statements. So it's a little update where we stand with that. And I'm gonna hop into the August actuals. So revenues to date have come in about $18 million or 55.5% of the preliminary budget revenues. That makes sense based on the preload from the state's operating and transportation budgets. That is based on May figures, so those will get updated throughout the calendar year. And now with the local bills out, we're expecting that revenue to roll in over the next month or two. During the month of August, the revenues were actually pretty minimal outside of our rent and tenant billings that we have with our Academia tenant and ABC Kids tenant at the St. Thomas location. And expenditure-wise, I think we're where we thought we'd be. To date, we've spent about $6.5 million, or 22.5% of the budget. I think, as I mentioned at the last meeting, that as we're about 17% of the way through the year, the first month includes our total debt payment of about $2.7 million. So it's a little bit front heavy there. So that is lining where we think it would go based on the preliminary budget. And this is the web report that where we are for the various types of revenues. One update I'd like to add too, I know I discussed a little bit at the last board meeting that we were exploring the options for county and state additional distance learning grants. Those are starting to come to fruition through the application process, and we're estimating that amount to be around $183,000 that will go towards various IT facilities, types of needs that we have based on the distance learning that we're in now. Anyone have any questions?
All right, thank you, Jeff.
Thanks.
You don't have, is that the monthly report too that we need to approve that you send to us?
Yeah, that web report, yep.
Okay. So we have a motion to approve the web report.
I move to approve the web report. This is Rodrigo.
Rodrigo, we have a second?
It's Elise, I'll second.
It's Elise. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, so we'll, it's approved. We'll post the monthly financial report. Next up is head of school report. Ricardo, you want to take the lead on that?
Yes, good evening, everyone. Let me pass the baton initially to Marina so that she can give the Greek program report, and then I will run through the school report and the operations report.
Good evening, everybody. I would like to start by welcoming our new Greek language teacher, Mrs. Toulas Yoga, who joined the intermediate school as the long-term sub of Maria Mirtsopoulos in grade 4. She will be with us until November 16th, when Maria Mirtsopoulos is expected to come back. We are also welcoming Amanda Horning, who of course is not new at OBDC, but who joined the immersion program this year as a pushing teacher in grade 3. I have a couple of announcements that are related to other events. The first of them, the first one is one that was shared with me today by the Center for Hellenic Studies, Harvard University, and concerns our high school students. I didn't even have the time to share it with Ashley. So this is a new drama competition for university and high school students in the US and Canada. Students will be recording a scene from media and submitted to the panel of judges by 23rd of October, 2020. And the winners will be announced on 11th November 2020 and will receive $400 with 2 second place prizes of $200 each. So this is a great opportunity for our high schoolers. And I think we could include it in our newsletter this week or next week. So the last announcement regards the Elinomathia exams. As you all know, OCS has served as a Mid-Atlantic Region Testing Center for the Elinomathia exams since 2014. The exams normally take place in mid to late May, but this year, due to COVID-19, they were postponed to mid-October, on October 15th, actually. That decision was made by the Center for the Greek Language in Greece. After careful consideration and in consultation with the Center for Greek Language, our school has chosen to go forward with the exams, which will be conducted in the safest way possible, including mandatory mask wearing, social distancing, and preventative disinfection of the testing spaces. The exams will span over the course of 4 days instead of 3, as per the center's recommendation and in accordance with health regulations. The testing dates are from October 13th to October 16th. Finally, we would like to thank the community at large for their positive feedback, support, and patience with virtual synchronous learning. The Greek department has received a lot of positive feedback by the parents for their hard work, responsiveness, and enthusiasm. We would like to thank parents and caregivers for their continued support. Personally, I would like to thank all the building deans for always being available and standing by to support the teachers in any way they feel they need to be supported. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Marina. I just want to quickly piggyback off of the, you know, the Alina Mathia exams over the 4 days. I believe that when we were talking about there's going to be about 50 to 60 participants this year. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
We don't have, it would be about that number. I don't have the specific number yet because what we need to know is how many OCS students are going to take the exams. And this is something that teachers will communicate to parents, to students and parents next week. And at the same time, we need to have the confirmation of the final number of candidates who come from different schools. Definitely, we will not exceed the number that you mentioned, Ricardo.
Yeah. So the point that I wanted to emphasize here is that think of 50 to 60 students that are spread over AM sessions or PM sessions over 4 days. So they would still fall within, you know, small group settings, let's say, in terms of holding this event. It's not like suddenly we have 50 to 60 people all on one day in one building. So, you know, we decided to proceed with this because it also met our health and wellness subcommittee guidelines internally with regards to our reopening strategy. So thank you.
Thank you.
So I too would like to just reemphasize the welcome to our new teachers that, you know, have been mentioned. And really a huge, huge thank you to the senior leadership team that has done an outstanding job at working together as we've reopened over this past week and a half, pulling out all the stops to make sure that the operating team was supporting the faculty and the academic team in the opening of the school. It's been a huge collective effort. And I think it has been, you know, in spite of the challenges, and I'll mention a couple of them, I think has been quite successful given the environment we're in. I think to summarize, the biggest challenge that we have faced is really the virtual interface and the virtual platform and the implementation of virtual learning in an ecosystem where the state has been transitioning its platforms and also conducting systems integration while we're trying to adjust to that, adjust our internal systems to that, and ramping up the accessibility of, you know, to the platforms. If we think about the fact that we've distributed 1,200 units between Chromebooks, loaners, loaner devices, and desktops, you know, huge push to get that out there. You know, the responsiveness, we've got food service people supporting the IT to help address the over 1,200, 1,500 tickets that have come in during this window. You know, just as, you know, an example of the team coming together to try and very quickly make sure that our families and our students can access the synchronous learning and the virtual learning environment. Driver's Ed has kicked into gear. We had talked about it before. Friday, we had the first Driver's Ed session. Kids are coming in two at a time. And we've got 20 kids who have to catch up from the spring. And then after that, we've got, I believe, some 40 students were signed up this fall for this year's for this initial round of driver's education. But those are small groups and are going to be managed also in a very contained fashion. This week, schools have been holding their beep and greets. So we've been seeing cars flowing through the campus to pick up supplies, bags of supplies. So the faculty has been outdoors distributing these supplies. They come and receive them and then drive off again. So there's been some additional movement. We're in the throes of conducting special education assessments. We started those last week, and they're ongoing. And in the next week or so, we will also start launching the ELL assessments, and especially focusing on kindergarten, because that's the introductory assessment that they will have to assess any English language acquisition supports they might need. With regards to the reopening journey that we're on, we've talked about the repositioning of the effort of the different committees. The Health and Wellness Committee has been meeting. As you've been following in the general landscape, the news for the state of Delaware this week have not been the best news to us. We've climbed in the rankings across the country. We're at like in second or third place now in the red, but not in the red in terms of ours. It's the green-red ranking of states. So we moved from a 0.98 R factor to a 1.22 factor. And this has been concerned. The CDC has flagged it. And of course, these trends inform our thinking. We have also started having some cases of community members that have had children infected and or have been in contact with people that have been in contact with COVID-19 positive individuals. And so we are being very, very mindful and very conservative in the approach we're taking to ensure that they're quarantining, et cetera, in these activities. So there's a heightened uncertainty with impacting or influencing our reopening plans. As we had said, that we were planning to look at the 30 days of the month of September. Do the planning for the back to school small group activities. Given where we are as of today, the 16th, the committees are working at fleshing out these plans so that they are available to start launching in early October. But as I said, with the current environment, I am looking to push back under the guidance of the Health and Wellness Committee the formal launch date to the middle of October. If the scenarios change, we will have the activities ready to re-anticipate the launch, but I think we need to be very, very mindful and very conservative. I don't want us to launch in this kind of environment and then find ourselves having to a week later shut down the activities again after having started them. So we're going to be monitoring where these trends are going over the next couple of weeks while we continue developing the activities and planning for them and making sure that the logistics infrastructures are in place. You know, one aspect that is positive with regards to this is because the transportation contractors will be paid, we will have access to transportation services should we need to be bringing students to school and then taking them back home for these activities at no additional cost to the costs that are embedded in the budget. We are also starting the issuance of the vault at home testing for all staff. This should be completed by early next week. I think we've got about 150 staff members that have received their URLs. This is not mandatory, but it is strongly recommended. It's very convenient. It's free. With the self-guided kits, then prepaid envelopes dropped off at UPS, and then within 48 hours, the results are back. If there are positive results, then DPH contacts the school nurses to let them know, and then protocols are put into place as a result of that, especially if the staff was on campus, then there's a contact tracing protocol that, you know, that will be deployed. As many of you may have picked up in the news, the state has just launched a COVID Alert Delaware app and has communicated that to all state employees, inviting them to download the app. It's available for iPhones and for Google phones or Droid phones, so that it's out there. And you know, we're also recommending that all our employees download the app, and you can, on the app, provide a daily update on how we are feeling, you know, should people feel comfortable in doing that. But it's another tool that has just been made available to us. The other big ticket item that is up for grabs right now on the academic program, you know, on the program side, is the fact that the DIAA has reversed its decision of pushing back sports, fall sports, into the winter. And they have decided to open up sports, assuming they can be done safely, effective September 28th. The DOE is meeting tomorrow to see, to make its decision on this. We expect it to endorse the DIAA. And on Friday, the superintendents and school and leaders and athletic directors are going to get together to decide what the strategy is. We have been having discussions internally about that, and we plan to meet again on Monday to discuss the Odyssey reality and an Odyssey recommendation with regards to sports at the school and how they fit in with our reopening strategy. On the operations and business management side, there's two topics that will be discussed a little later. You know, there's the MOU, you know, with the OCSEA for the recording of synchronous online classes, which has been distributed to the board, you know, for, you know, for a later discussion. And then the second topic for a later discussion has to do with the negotiations, or the start discussion around the negotiation of a lease extension with our current tenant in Building 26. With regards to Building 23 phase update, phase 2B update, we expect to have the construction permit issued by early next week, so that after that, Commonwealth can start, both Commonwealth and Service Unlimited can start their work in Building 23. Much to our pleasant surprise, food service this week is serving over 1,800 meals to our families and communities. We were not expecting this turnout, and the feedback that Kim has received from families is that they're very pleased with having this service and having access to the service. We are delivering 3 days a week, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and then I believe on Mondays and Wednesdays, or Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we're also between 4 and 6. Kim is here to do pickups for parents that need to pick up. So thank you, Kim, for the leadership in this major effort. This is also allowing us to bring back our food service staff and, you know, and making sure that they are working in their area of competency. And finally, just on transportation, transportation has been working assiduously to, you know, be manning the tables here at school for the distribution of computers, but also the delivery of computers and the food to the homes of our community. And that is my report for the school today.
Anyone have any questions for Ricardo? I had one question, Ricardo. You talked about delaying a little bit the implementation of the initial startup of bringing some populations of students back to school based on the data. Can you specify what the specific criteria is that you're looking for, or thresholds, that once we kind of reach those, that's when we'd make a decision about bringing folks or students back into the school? How are we deciding that?
Well, we're looking at the green, yellow, and red, state, matrix, you know, that talks about the number of cases per 100,000, the percentage positive testing and all of that. And the idea is that if we stay stable and heading down from yellow to green, then we have the confidence of saying that it's trending in the right direction. Unfortunately, right now, today, the numbers are trending from yellow to red. And that is what is giving us some pause. So we're using the state matrix, Elias, and seeing in which way. Do we have some numbers like saying when once we hit, you know, we're at 10.2 in terms of number of positive cases per 100,000, and so we're going to trigger it at 5? No, that is too detailed. We're not the experts there. We're looking at the trends. So if the trends are heading down, I think we're building our confidence with the systems that we have in place.
I just asked.
Yeah, go ahead, Erin.
Yeah, just real quick. You talked about Dr. Mina talked about the testing that's scheduled for October. If we are in a red state at that time, is there, do we have a plan to sort of continue considering that, or what are we thinking in terms of bringing those folks onto campus?
I would say that if we are continuing to head towards the red, or for some reason two of the factors turn to red, which then says that the whole state is red, that by definition would define a shutdown, which would mean the suspension of all activities on campus. And, the Alinomathia would then, we'd have to technically say it's suspended because it cannot be held here and technically could not be held anywhere else.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. True.
Hopefully we won't get to that spot, but just wanted to check.
No, absolutely. And we've seen how these, the factors in this matrix oscillate up and down, and this is sort of an expected oscillation. As we were back to school, I think everybody was expecting to see a spike. The issue that I'm foreseeing for October, as we head into October and into the middle of October, is that the temperatures are going to come down. And then we're going to start having the confluence of the flu season with the COVID, with the continued COVID season. And that's a question mark. And that's why we want to be very mindful of these variables. Thank you.
Thank you, Ricardo. Let's see, next up on the agenda is the Citizens Budget Oversight Committee report. Rodrigo, were you at the meeting or anyone from that meeting today? Jeff, were you at the meeting today?
Yeah. So I was at the meeting today. We went over the monthly report, gave them a similar update of where we were on the budget, try to get a lot, sort of an update on where we are with obtaining the audited financial statements, which will come, you know, again to the board for a special meeting. So a lot of the things I went over earlier with you guys is the same information went over to the CBOC.
We know when we're going to have a briefing on the audit yet. Have we gotten indications of when that'll be ready?
So late this afternoon, we got indications that we should have a draft form of the financials on Monday. And then from that, we'll see how we want to pivot towards potential additional board meeting. Do we want to convene the finance committee? Do we want to kind of do it all in one shot? I figure we probably have that conversation offline.
But directionally, Elias, the special board meeting to review and approve the audit should not be later than September 28th, so that it gives the auditors a couple of days to finalize the audit, the management letter, because the deadline for issuance to the DOE is October 1st. So the 28th is probably is my recommended date to have the special board meeting. And that gives us time to have a finance committee meeting prior to that, should we want to hold it.
Yeah, fair enough, this sounds good. Okay. Faculty report from board rep.
Yeah, so we heard from the OCS Green of the garden behind the high school. They have 10 new raised beds, an additional vertical herb garden, and fencing that cost $8,000. In total, and this was fully funded by the grants received by the Green Team, this expansion will complement the Greek Culinary Arts program and give more opportunities for grades 5 to 8 students to be engaged in outdoor learning. Teachers, the other aspect is that the teachers are also getting concerned about the head of school process, and they're also stressed about the virtual learning and teaching. And so if the members of the search committee can address those concerns, it would be appreciated. And teachers have approached the union representatives to with these concerns, and they feel that they're not being supported with appropriate leadership right now due to the lack of head of school. Teachers are also concerned about the recording of lessons and want to know if the teachers can have more control over the recordings and who has access to them. They want to know if they can be supplied on an as-needed basis, as opposed to having them all available at any given time to everyone. So those are the concerns of the teachers and as well as the accomplishments.
Thank you, Marianne. I think a number of those things will be addressed later on today, including the head of school search, as well as there's an MOA that governs the the recording of classrooms, which is going to be voted on later on after executive session review by the board. So.
Okay.
Go ahead, Emma, were you saying something?
Yeah. Regarding the faculty report, I do understand how stressed out everybody is, all the teachers, myself included. It's something that it's new and old at the same time, right? It's been 6 months now, and we all would like to be back to normal, and we are not. So it's a challenging situation. I think for many teachers, the challenge is we are experts in our domain, but when it comes to technology, we struggle, right? And that's the avenue we have now to deliver our lessons. On the other hand, though, I have to applaud them, the leadership team. In my opinion, the deans have been tremendously supportive, extremely supportive. First day, we got text messages from Stephanie. How are you doing? How are you holding up? So any issues we had, they were addressed promptly, supportively, with flexibility. So I cannot say enough good things about them and the way Ricardo handled the situation. One little note, additional note is that there are many donors choose projects out there that Odyssey teachers have put together, and today is a double day, I believe. So if any of you nice folks would like to contribute, we would appreciate it. That's all.
So boosting day, which means you get 50%.
So if you give 100, they put another 50?
They put in another 50. So it's a good day. Check out your teachers' pages.
All you have to do is type Odyssey and you're going to see all of us are begging for money.
That's what I was just going to ask. So you just go to the site, you search by the school, and you can see all the projects for the school. And
if you have a project, raise your hand.
I found them individually, but that's good to know we can get to all of them easily.
I even put it on
midnight
my...
tonight. Is that right, Marianne?
Yeah. I even put it on my signature for my emails, for my page.
And that's a good thing to know about the boosting days, because now they have, like, you know, double the money, or they give a percentage more of the money. Is there any way that we're messaging that to the community to say, hey, here's a day that you can double your money to your teachers' donors choose projects or otherwise? Are we getting that out somehow to the community so they're aware of it?
I don't think it's a concerted effort, but you know, people like me, I've put it out on the parents' Facebook page or on my own Facebook and Twitter page. So I think it's that being done more individually.
And once you donate on donors choose, you'll get messages saying, hey, it's a booster day. So
yeah.
Yeah, again, maybe it's something like the fundraising committee can kind of work on how we can, like, message when those happen, particularly in times of need.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we can have a conversation about how we can spread the word a little bit better to help the teachers as we're...
Right.
All right. Thanks. It's good to know all that. Next up, PTO report from the board rep.
Hello, everyone. How are you?
Hey, Kaya, how are you? You have an update?
I am good.
PTO?
I do. The PTO board has held recent discussions and approved some minor changes to our bylaws. One of the changes is the terms of PTO board members, which are defined in section 6.2 of the PTO bylaws. The PTO board is requesting that the OCS board of directors approve the amendments to section 6.2 to allow for board members to serve longer terms. Basically, the idea behind this is to add stability to the PTO board. Additionally, the PTO board would like to add grandparents as eligible PTO members. The reason for this is that we've kind of looked over the bylaws and noticed that grandparents are not specifically spelled out. The PTO board is coming to the OCS board of directors per the PTO bylaws. Sorry, I'm a little congested. Under Article 9 amendments, that states the PTO board must vote, and then the OCS board of directors must approve the bylaw changes. So I'm coming to the executive school board to get approval for our approved amendment to terms for the PTO board.
And were these unanimous vote, Kaya?
Yes, it was.
Elias, you're on mute.
Yeah, we'll get to that under new business. So all the board members have the amendments and changes to the bylaw. So we'll discuss it in the new business section in a few minutes.
Okay.
Any other updates from the PTO on activities?
Yes, we currently have a designer bag bingo coming up on October 17th. That is going to be held at the Greek Orthodox Church, and all of the proceeds will benefit Odyssey's technology. We're not going to specify that it's Chromebooks or if it's building 23, but we'll kind of hold discussions with administration to kind of decide where that's going to go. Sorry. We also have a book fair coming up, which will be by Sign Up Genius only. It will be a book fair that is held at a physical location. It will not be a virtual book fair. And I have the dates for that coming up as well. So check your emails and Facebook for upcoming events from PTO. That's all I have for today.
Kaya, where's the physical location for the book fair?
I don't have that yet. I believe it will be at the school, but again, conversations have not taken place with administration yet. We also need to look at the COVID guidelines. And at the time of the, you know, we're looking into the first week in November, we kind of have to get closer to decide, you know, are we allowed to hold it based on, you know, are we in the red, are we in the green? And those discussions will have to take place over the next month.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kaya. Any questions for Kaya? Okay, next up on the agenda is committee reports. I guess we can kind of walk through those and get updates from the leads. And the finance committee was just recently populated with some new members. Do we have, were there any activities going on in the finance committee, Rodrigo? Any folks on that? I don't believe it's met yet this month.
I don't think, no, we haven't met yet. I think we're waiting for the draft, the draft audit results to meet.
Okay. Fundraising committee, any updates on the fundraising committee, Elise?
We had our meeting on Monday. I stepped away from a meeting early on. One of the big things for the update is we got a $2,000 grant due to Marianne's efforts. She applied for the Dollar Legacy Program, and the library was funded in the amount of $2,000 for their technology needs. So kudos. That just highlights how important these grant writing opportunities are, and every little bit helps.
All right, thank you.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Yes, we can hear you.
Oh my God, I've been on mute this whole time. All right. As Erin suggested, and I'm actually going to, Sandy, let's talk offline and see how we want to proceed with the, I think likely we would have the first finance committee meeting to review the audit report. That seems to be the first opportunity. But given that the board will also have to meet, I'm sending a note, let's talk offline on how to proceed, what's the best proceed, and try to be as efficient as possible here.
Okay, let's do that. Right. Thanks. That sounds like a good idea. Thanks, Rodrigo.
And Elias, if I may quickly jump in, with regards to fundraising, one of the topics that we're, you know, we wrestled with and discussed on Monday, you know, looking into the future and, you know, and ramping up fundraising, you know, in a more generic form. If we think about the fundraising committee to date, I would say that its focus has been primarily around school-based operating initiatives, you know, funding school projects, teacher projects, and so on. We need to, the board administration needs to be addressing capital fundraising. And what does the capital fundraising strategy and format is it going to be assigned to this fundraising committee? Is it going to be assigned to specific board members? I mean, strategies are different. And that is a discussion that needs to occur as we look into the future and we're looking at some of the bigger capital grants.
I agree. And those are great points, Ricardo, and something we probably need to address, because multi-million dollar fundraising activities probably require a very focused and concentrated effort without distractions, probably. And so that's something that we should probably talk a little bit more about and how we want to work that piece, and we'll get to that probably over the next few weeks, possibly, and see how we want to proceed with that. And have discussions with board members and the leads at the school as well, too. So,
great, thank you.
Diversity, equity, and inclusion. Any updates from that committee?
Yeah, very brief update. Our last meeting was in August 18th. The EPP staff members have already started their training sessions. Their training is going to be 6 months long. The feedback we get from the participants is that it is an eye-opening program that is helping them develop the self-awareness and skills to help our OCS community move forward in a more equity-minded, inclusive way. Also, during our staffing service on September 3rd, the staff development subcommittee of the our committee gave a very insightful virtual presentation regarding diversity, equity, and inclusion. Abby Robinson facilitated the event. Hopeful, inspired, and optimistic were the common feelings that OCS staff members shared during the group discussions. And our next meeting is going to be in August. We're taking a month off to digest virtual learning and teaching.
And thank you, Reva.
You're welcome.
I know that a part of that training that we're working with this company too, as well as looking at some board and leadership training in addition to the EPP training. So we probably need to discuss how we're going to kick that off and under what circumstances. They'll probably require talking to Fourth Dimension and folks, so, and figuring out who will participate in that as part of the board and school leadership.
I've been brainstorming a little bit about that, and we have to finalize it.
Okay, because that's going to be kind of a, I don't want to say prolonged, but kind of a, over a few months training for our board and senior leadership as well too on diversity, equity, and inclusion topics that this company works. Looking forward to that as well. Next up, immersion committee. Any activity? I think we postponed meetings for that for the month.
Yeah, we took some time off so the teachers could take time for their virtual learning and getting ready for school. So we're gearing up for October. We're going to get some dates on the books and probably have meetings twice a month so we can strategize and develop a plan on where the program will be headed. Marina?
Yeah, we wanted to give teachers some time to familiarize themselves with a new type of remote education. And I have already had some meetings over the past 2 weeks with the immersion teachers, the immersion team. So there are some things that we will discuss in the next immersion meetings. I agree that twice a week is a good number of, it's a good frequency. And I think we will be able to cover what needs to be covered and what issues need to be addressed while we are expanding and while we're trying to address any issues that come up.
Okay, thank you, Marina.
You're welcome.
Search committee meeting. Erin, do you want to provide an update on that?
Sure. And this will be included in Board Bites as well, but as soon as a recap, we hired, we established a search committee earlier this year, and it contains or is comprised of board members, some members of the administration, union representation, parents, and community members. It meets approximately biweekly. Those are public meetings, so everyone is free to, and welcome to join to discuss and advance ahead of school search. We retained a search firm called K-12, and they're supporting and essentially managing what is a nationwide search for the permanent head of school. So we had the announcement open for the majority of the summer. It closed at the end of August. During that period, K-12 contacted approximately 270 potential head of school prospects. From that pool of 270, if you think of it like a funnel, a little bit over 40 resumes were submitted for consideration. K-12 took a first pass at vetting those and providing information to the search committee. The search committee then reviewed K-12's notes and information, and as a committee further narrowed the pool to, or narrowed the funnel to, a pool of 9 prospective candidates. A subgroup of the search committee is in the process of the initial interviews. We are most of the way through those 9 candidates. So we'll complete that. Those interviews are being recorded and are available for the search committee members and board members to view to also provide input. From there, after the entire committee is able to view those recordings and understand kind of the scoring from the subgroup and discuss as a whole group, we're expecting by the end of September to narrow it further to somewhere between 3 and 5 candidates that'll proceed to the next stage of the vetting process. And that next stage includes a performance task. So the performance task targeting for early October, those 3 to 5 candidates will essentially propose a 90-day plan for what they would do if they were to come into the school. They'll also debrief that plan with the full search committee and sort of present it and go through it. Following that, we would aim to kind of further narrow the pool to finalists, somewhere between 1 and 3 finalists. It will go to the full board, the full search committee, and other stakeholder groups for discussion and review. If all of that goes well, you know, by the late October, early November, we'll hopefully determine a final candidate and announce it thereafter. Obviously, we're dealing with people, so we may select someone and they may not be available, or you got to kind of go through the process. But in terms of our timing, that's kind of where we are from the steps in the funnel. And again, we're targeting to hopefully have someone identified by early November. That'd be for the permanent head of school position. Elias, if I'm leaving anything out, feel free to add.
No, I think that captures it. K-12 has done a great job, I think, conducting a really professional search for us and looking for candidates. Like all searches, we need to go through the process, and the board ultimately needs to determine if the right candidates are in there. So we're still looking at that, and hopefully there definitely seem to be some pretty good candidates in the pool, but that's an individual comment versus a board discussion. And so once it gets to the full board, there'll be, I'm sure, additional discussions about that. So I think we're getting close to kind of coming to the end of the process, and hopefully we'll get our updates from that as well too. So I think we're moving along fairly as quickly as the process allows us to, with what we've laid out with K-12 to help us get to an end goal of this. It's coming to an end, and hopefully there's some light at the end of the tunnel, and hopefully we'll get to where we need to be with this process very soon. The only other committee, the non-HIPAA nominating committee, that is still open for accepting applicants until the 25th for upcoming board position for community member. So no updates necessarily on that. There have been a few applicants that have applied, but it's still open for accepting applications for consideration. Did I miss any committees?
Marie had asked if sharing information about joining the head of school committee. Marie, if you just go to the website, all the committees are listed under the board meetings. You can, the dates and times and how to join are all there.
Next up, new business. We had sent out comments and requests for approval by the PTO to update their bylaws to change terms of some of the officers, as well as to allow grandparents to become members of the PTO, paid members of the PTO, so they can support the activity a little bit more closely. I think that's a great idea. Did anybody have any comments or questions with respect to the voted on and approved PTO changes to their bylaws? And so right now their bylaws are written in a way that they elevate it up to the Odyssey Board of Directors to approve changes to their bylaws, but their executive committee has voted on these changes and approved them unanimously, as I guess Kaya mentioned. So unless anybody has any concerns about that, would probably be entertaining a motion to approve the changes and as set forward by the PTO board.
Yeah, I move we accept the executive board's decision and approve the changes to their rules.
Does anyone have a second?
Second.
Okay. Any comments or anything on the changes or the?
No, I'd like to thank the PTO for including the giving the opportunity for the grandparents to have a say and a voice in both the organization and their little ones' education. So thank you. It's good thinking.
Thanks, Ken. Any other comments on the motion? So we can call it to a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay, so
sorry, I didn't catch who seconded the motion. I'm just taking minutes. I heard of
Val.
Valerie.
Val seconded. Val.
Got it. Thanks.
All right, thanks. So that passes. Any other new business? I don't believe we had anything else on the agenda at this point in time. We do have some business to discuss in executive session. One of the things that we do want to vote on or have a discussion on tonight is an MOA between the OCSCA union and the administration regarding recording of classes in the virtual environment. So because of some questions there, we're gonna have that conversation in executive session, and it will be an up or down vote on that, whether or not we agree to authorize that or not. So we have that and a few other things. So we'll be in an executive session for a while. But for the open meeting, we don't have anything else on the agenda other than coming back and having a vote on the MOA with the union. So if anybody has any comments or questions, the only thing we need to do basically at this point is to move to executive session for the board. And Helen, could you, I just made you a host or co-host, can you set up a room where we can go into executive session, or do we have a separate link, Aaron? I know you had made one in the past.
I can put us in a breakout room.
Okay, that would be great. And Ricardo as well, too. All right, thank you, everybody. We're going to go into executive session.
I move we go into executive session.
Yes, thank you. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Aaron seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, so we're going to move into executive session. It's about 7 o'clock now. So we're back in executive session. It's 8:45 p.m. Do we have any motions for the related to the MOU?
I would move to approve the MOU as drafted and approved by the OSCA.
Do we have a second?
A second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So that passes. The other objectives we need to authorize. I guess we can authorize Ricardo to sign the MOU with the board. His name is on there now. So we authorize Ricardo. Can someone make a motion to authorize Ricardo to sign the MOU?
Does that have to be a motion?
I think so, because I just want to make it clear that he's okay to authorize, because the collective bargaining agreement is signed by the board president and by the president of the OCSCA. And so if we're making an MOU to interpret that, we just want to make sure that we're delegating that authority to sign an MOU on behalf of the board to Ricardo.
I move to let Ricardo sign the MOU as written.
You have a second?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Do we have any other business or activities from anyone?
Thank you to the board members who contributed to my donor's choose. Thank you.
Thank you to the board. Yeah. Thank you, guys.
They're awesome.
We all multitask like that. I can't do that.
I guess, yeah.
So the problem was there were 16 of them. You had to dig down to find everybody.
Really?
Yeah.
And we can, I guess we are. Are we all done?
Are we done?
We need a motion to adjourn.
To adjourn.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. So we're adjourning 8:47. Thank you, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
All right. Good night.